So.
The tear thing being, I think you say a religion, a natural inhabitant of the area.
Aye.
But does your father and mother have an influence on the way you talk?
Oh,
because
the
first words you hear is for your parents, presumably.
Yeah.
So therefore, if they're near local, then you'd start off. But then, well, my food come from Bond Street or from there, you see.
Oh.
So would that maybe influence my speech? I mean, by this time, no.
Probably not that much, no. But but they would have some influence.
You see, you hear a lot of food going to Australia and travelling abroad and that, and when they come back, they speak the way, well, the place has been at. But is that put on, or is that natural?
I think you tend to adapt your accent to the people you're with, to some extent. But, I mean, I can't do a proper local accent, even though I've been here for quite a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
But probably more than before I came here.
I found it, well, before I was married, I worked in a hotel in St. Cyrus. And depending on your customers, you spoke, you found yourself answering them as they spoke to you.
Mm-hmm.
That you changed, and you did it automatically. Mm-hmm. It wasn't intentional that you was changing how you spoke to them, but you did.
But that raises another question. Are you doing that to impress them? Because
you know what?
It's not your language. It's not your natural tongue.
It was just something that you did. Speaking about hearing a telephone voice.
Yeah. I mean, our boys, when obviously they were brought up speaking more or less like Dave and me, but they had a school voice that they used with their friends in the playground. And they didn't put it on to get on with them. It was just that's how you spoke to your mates.
That's right.
I think it's probably automatic. You do it to be comfortable with the people you're with.
That's right. Yeah. The way you speak. But
if you take things to the bear, if you think I was speaking a lot about before, they said that'll do, they know. they come over here and work, but they don't speak like we do. They keep that sort of twang with them,
Yeah.
Just very across, but it's just in such a short distance to here to the coast. And there's all these different accents and different words for different things.
Yeah. Maybe it's like taking a pride in where you come from, is it? And sort of a determination, I'm not going to change just to suit you.
Well, that's what I think. And then against Australia and Naples, it's like the fact that they're trying to influence you because they come from there. Yeah. So a lot of lads I get to school with, came from there, come back here, maybe in the army or whatever, they speak a more Englified way. I mean, it's maybe just because I notice it more so than maybe them trying to speak that way, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They probably had it forced on them to some extent too, when they've been away.
Well, maybe to be understood like that.
Well, they wouldn't understand. No.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of people said to me, if you slow doing your speech, I'll be able to understand you more, which is maybe true.
Now, people always think other people speak faster than they do, I think.
Well, that's it.
What sort of words do you notice that are different? Can you think of any of it?
Words. Across here. Not really now, but well, it's in Cyrus. I came further north than that. They speak about oatcakes and stuff. The kind of that bread.
Mm-hmm.
For us, that was never with us across there. It was bannocks and things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we used to speak about going to the shop for tea bread, which was cookies and scones and pancakes and stuff. But that's not used even across. That wasn't even used across here when there was a baker's shop. You wouldn't have gone to the shop here and asked for 6 tea bread. The bakers wouldn't have gotten what you was asking for.
Mm. So what would they have said?
Well, you had to say scones, pancakes, cookies, or can. But the baker's shop at St. Cyrus, they kept what you meant when you said you wanted assorted tea bread.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just so that was that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
what about things like clothes? Do you have different words for clothes? You know, like reeks and.
Well, some folks speak about a vest, other folks speak about simmets.
That's mere north, a simmet, and that was mere simmets. An older fashioned word, I suppose they use that now.
Then there's a word that sign will do that, but that's maybe far out north, you see. There's a lot of folk come doing for the, well, north, as you would say. Like.
For north, meaning Bantry, a boy.
Language with them, like.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. There was a lot of in-about comers, as you would say, as far as when there was mere firm workers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of folk come doing because there's mere, it was mere
jobs were money, mere availed, mere well, money and that in it. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, there's quite a lot of folk in Auchinblee here come from up north to work. Well, there was the Rennies at the bottom of the street, maybe Mrs. Rennie and them.
Oh, yeah.
Them. They were for north and quite a lot of folk at Cairnton Firm come from up north of Duncan's and stuff there. I come from north originally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now, of course, they're comfy.
Poland.
To work in the farms, but in the village, I mean,
That's another thing must influence the people coming in about here. You can, like, oil people, someone's coming from England, someone's from, well, all different areas, as you'd say, the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're biding in houses here and travelling back, commuting back and forth, every day and everything there. They're about to influence the local language as well.
Mm-hmm. If through their children, if not through them.
Kids going to school.
Because one of the things they try to encourage in schools is the use of Scots.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got a class where half the kids don't know what it means, it makes it much more difficult, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of them don't know any Scots.
Scots, no.
It's a foreign language.
But there again, if you're a young woman going to school, you were still to speak properly and not the way you would speak outside, see, so that destroys your
And now they're trying to do the opposite and encourage them to do it. It's typical of
education.
That's true.
I mean, I was dealt about the linoleum for Kirkcaldy. Well, if it goes out to me now.
Linoleum for Kirkcaldy?
If it goes out to me. Tell me, they're humping into my head about that.
Well, now they're bringing it back.
New, they
starting again because
MRS bug.
Bug, they found that linoleum's the best. It's got something in the linseed oil that doesn't allow it to
kill the bug.
Helps to kill the bug, so they're getting back to using linoleum in hospitals.
Which, of course, they always used to do.
Do that? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not for that reason, but because it was easier to clean, of course.
Well,
something to do with properties through the oil, it kills the bug.
No.
Or it doesn't allow it to breed or something.
Well, Joyce, she who went to drama school in Atherest and who is now in that TV programme River City.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes, she's
another of your famous relatives.
My famous relatives. She's, what is she, Roisin or something? She's the bar. Owns the bar, she won the lottery, I reckon, we didn't watch it. She won the lottery or something, and she's now the bar, she bought the pub in this River City programme, BBC. And there was somebody writing the papers, it was Lorraine Kelly said, she wondered where she come from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she was educated at Aberdeen, our life, and then she was at Glasgow at the drama.
Right.
She did her university or whatever it was in drama there. And she's doing a lot of work, but most of it's all been when she stayed in Glasgow. But they didn't again put her accent, whether it was Dundee, Aberdeen or Glasgow, the way she speaks in the TV programme. But she just speaks the way she's been told to speak.
So that's not how she naturally speaks? She doesn't know the programme?
No, definitely not the way she speaks on the TV.
Right.
No. She's been out and she's just back for Sri Lanka. She's been out working. The dinner, this set for River City in Glasgow, it's specially built.
Mm-hmm.
But in so many months in the summer, the dinner film,
mm-hmm.
So they have these months off or something. So the BBC likes them to do charity work, again, visiting hospitals and others. So there was her and I think there was four of them went out to Sri Lanka to some place. They were working at an orphanage and things, doing entertaining the kids and learning them basic about brushing their teeth and washing their hands and things like that. And she said that it's been an experience she'll never forget.
She got like shocked, that's what she was.
And that the kids were wanting to touch and be touched. That they were, this is the orphans for the tsunami. This is what it was, that they could touch you, seemed to be the greatest thing. And getting a toothbrush.
Yeah.
Again, that they had something. So they took money out. Raised money and took this money out, and there was one lad, he was there, and it had been for the orphanage. They got it a fridge freezer, which was to help. They bought a fridge freezer for helping with the food, the food and things. But she said it was, it really opened her eyes, that seeing pictures on the telly about the tsunamis and they like being there.
Yeah, we tend to think now it's all been sorted out, really. But of course, it's going to.
She said, "Well, there's
time.
Lots of places haven't had a penny's worth of aid.
No, despite all the millions.
Despite all the money that the kids are still getting, but with things that they had when they were plucked for the waves, as you would say. But no. And so that was her. But I mean, she just puts on her accent depending on who she has to. What she has to do. So that's. But.
Maybe she just flies down and accents like that. Like, I mean,
Well, you've been in Auckland all your days.
But anyway, the thing would influence people's accent would be the TV because. You can. There's a lot of programmes for Aberdeen and a lot for Glasgow, and then you get them for. Well, I know, like.
You're never really paying any attention to that there.
I think kids who listen to the same programmes over and over again, like they said that all the kids used to watch Neighbours, that they began to hear evidence of that in the way children spoke. Because you know how Australian accents, they go up at the end of a sentence, even if it's not a question. And apparently kids were starting to do that. But I don't think it worked quite so much with adults. But
well, see, Gordon's accents are more like singy-songy. Okay?
Where's that?
Gordon. Gordon next bit, and well, you have St. Cyrus, John's Haven, Gordon up the coast. And they have more, like I'm saying, a sing-song speaking. And they speak about quines and, well, again, that's a north word. But they have that, just the way they speak.
Yeah. I suppose that accents would have been kept separate by the fact that each of the villages is in a sort of physical area. It's contained.
Well, this is it. And then transport and things. And they
had changed that all because the bus run doing that. I'm doing the East Coast and it picked people up by the way doing.
Never spoke like folk at John's Haven did. When somebody on the bus opened their mouth, you couldn't find the comfy.
Ian, you said your parents came from Bankery area.
Oh, that area.
Did you notice the way they spoke was different from the way your mates at school.
There's some words like you can like, well, Monk would have spoken about a sign looking over there, you see, can meaning then looking over there. Well, sign was never a word you was doing here, can. Like breeding that as you were speaking about stuff of that kind. Like,
And you wouldn't use quine?
Quine, no.
No, but they did up there, you see. My father used to use quine, when he was here like that.
Quines and loons, no, we never spoke about that in St. Cyrus, no.
But then you see his and my mother's attitude, accent sort of changed because the kids from north, the kids as far doing as Dundee and that, you see, well, Dundee is an entirely different, and Carnoustie and that, so they must have picked up a lot of words down there as well.
Like, then they were older by that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, your dad come here. Well, you was born here. You was born up the glen, mm-hmm. at the stables.
So was he was in the army and
after that, mm-hmm. but you been at the bottom of the street.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He signed for next door to Far Fiona Davidson is.
Oh,
right. Yeah, but they were up the stair. That was a lot of, there was about six houses there at that time.
Oh, there was one doing one up. Oh, there's three. Oh, six.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Is that something you notice a lot of changes in, is the amount of space people expect nowadays?
Then the blacksmith shop was at the, well, you stand Blue House, who's at the bottom, very bottom.
Smitty at this end at the corner.
Oh,
mm-hmm. That was a smiddy.
Door made, the big door had been made at that.
That was where the horses went, and the,
mm-hmm.
that's where you got the kid's sledge made.
All right.
All right.
So when did he go away?
When?
When did he go away?
Well, he died like he.
All right.
Well, he died with lung cancer, like he's buried up in the graveyard up here. And,
Black loss.
But he got gas into his house and. He sort of blew his cell up and his wife was never the same after that, like, she was involved as well, like.
It was a gas cooker, it was colour gas.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But his daughter works, well, doesn't work, she's retired now, she's been at a lad that worked at Fitter Key, and he's a retired film gaffer, and she plays the accordion at Burnside, Cam.
Oh, you really heard of Phyllis and
Sandy. They come to the over 60s thing, mm-hmm. don't they? Mm-hmm. Yes, very
Phyllis
popular.
Phyllis and Sandy lie. Well, that was her father. It was at the Smitty.
And they say he come for Balmoral, but that's where he did annoy the king. Oh, Maxman Balmoral, but there he was annoy the king.
Yeah.
So that was him, but, you see, there's not that many folk in the village left now that would have been original Auchinleigh folk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, and a Saturday night used to walk down here, when I was alone, used to walk down the street here. Every house on the road down was playing country music, you can.
Scottish country music. Dance.
And every house was that, like.
No, you never hear TVs that. And things, they don't watch, listen to the radio now.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And there used to be dances down here every Saturday night, and that, like.
What, in the hall?
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bob, the locksmith, had a band, like Bob Gall's band, and he used to play there and all. And he used to play in Alexandria and St Haven as well. Like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, well, you're original, and the Crabs are original. Well, born and brought up here. They were born mm-hmm. up the glen as well. Margaret was born, of course, at Cairn, but... There's so many changes that folk have...
But then if it did be called original people was born here, because a lot of them, the people, either their parents didn't come from here, is it?
So I'm speaking about folk your age group that have been born and lived in Auchinleigh all their life.
Ah.
That's what I mean.
But there's very few of them that get to school who bide here, they're going to walk, you see?
Well, not exactly, yes, therefore they're not here.
No.
But the likes of Margaret Bill he was born up the glen, he was born here again.
Mm.
But it's not that many, really, is
no,
it?
There's no.
So when you say they went away, did they go far away?
Well, some good to the army. You see, it was a big thing in that days, like in the 60s and that.
Yeah.
It was, I suppose, an opportunity to see the world, and we couldn't have been in either while, again. It was either that or just...
No, and then Granny Hayes' grandson, him, it was at the school you...
He went to the police. He did well there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good doing the building trade when doing to London, because there's bigger money made, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of them didn't even get as far as London, but they just get into England, like, and,
mm-hmm.
and they went south, and I went to, well, some of them get to Fife, like, but...
It's a long way, yeah.
Them days of weather,
yeah. Was that because there was unemployment here? Because this is all before the oil, isn't
it? Well, not so much unemployment, we just... better opportunities, I think, as far as, and it was just a reason to get a war, I mean, just
see the world.
Mm.
See the world.
Yeah. You never did that?
No, I met Ben and
got married and had kids. And
you've never looked back.
Well, we had a good job with Hugh Davidson working with a local builder. And,
So you've always been a builder?
Security.
Well, I had 4 months at McPhee's earlier.
All right.
But I didn't like the noise in the place. So that.
Inside. That was when he was made redundant for when Hugh packed up.
Oh, right.
And then he went to Adamson's. Blondescare, but...
I think he had plans for his married and I was getting to Australia, but then there's.
I got pregnant with my third child, so that's
what... Well, that was a big change. Two was all right, except the whole rush with three, well...
That was in the days when it was
£10.
You went for £10 and you got a job.
Pencil letter, it was written to my father's cousin, you see.
Oh, yeah.
That she found in a box in the attic.
30 years
later. More than 30 years later. That was 1964. I wrote to her, and that was...
Saying that you might be going out?
Well, it was just what were the prospects and that there. And it was his grandmother that said, oh, write to Margaret. You can, like father's cousin, because she's 68.
But immigration must have been a big thing here, because I can still remember my father speaking about immigration on TV. An idea to get into Canada, like. But he worked in a wood and fell a lot of trees. And, well, obviously, a kind of woodcutter, like. And they were... reputed to him being not in a lot of money and big money in Canada and that and big trees and that. So he was like speaking with me, but I'm not just very sure if I'm with him, because maybe just never a keen to. But I can mind him speaking with it. Like,
But so then I've got this reply for this letter for Australia. And then last Tuesday we had a phone call. Well, she phoned one Tuesday before, but Ian was cutting the grass and hadn't heard the phone and we got a message. So on Tuesday, she phoned, just wanted to speak. Dead keen on pipe bands. And I had sent her a couple of CDs of pipe band music, which you can't just walk into a music shop and get. I'm not going to get them, no.
You hear you get them at Turf and in some chemist or something.
Oh,
really?
You get them at some of the shows, don't you?
Ah, the shows and things, you would get them. So actually, I went on, well, Peter's wife, Lynn, was up and she said, you get them on the internet.
Get everything on the internet.
Internet, yeah. They come from the Channel Isles, and they're made in Ireland. Oh, they came 2 days later. So sent her these tapes, so she'd be playing the pipe band music. So when they come next year, we'll hit again for those pipe bands. And
as long as she's not expecting to find one on every street corner.
Piper on every street corner. Oh, no, because she said she had a piper when she was married. They even piped the wedding cake into the hotel with a piper, and she had Heather and her bokeh. And see, it seems as though that...
They're more Scottish when they're away.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what it seems to be. Because I'm saying to her on the phone, I mean, how do you be polite and say... is your father, I'm saying, what about Barry? Is he an original Australian? Or was he one, was he descended for one of the ones that had in their passage paid by the government? You can't get by the government. And she said, no, Barry's dad and parents emigrated many years ago. Because I think Barry must be 70, so they'd emigrated. From Aberdeen.
If you listen to the history of the Australians, sort of criminals on the way under.
Well, that was what I was trying to be polite and ask in a roundabout. I didn't like to say kind of the descendant for the criminals.
Well, we spent £10 on a passage, we still need some long going.
No, he comes to Aberdeen, so that's...
He's all right.
He's okay. Well, his parents come from Aberdeen, maybe. No, maybe they'd left the country. You're never sure.
In a hurry as well.
You're never sure. But, I mean, there's the whole thing. But, that's it. But, I mean, well, Linda, I mean, since she left here, I would say her accent's changed now. Well, of course, well, she was nursing and then married. Being married to Alec and him being in Parliament, she's there. Well, since he went to Parliament, I mean, his native tongue's changed his the way he speaks.
Yeah.
So well, that
he maybe has to be understood.
Stood down. Yeah. Well, Linda's the same.
Yeah, she's meeting lots of different kinds of people.
Yeah. Well, what is that? I mean, because I laughed. She said when she met the Queen when Parliament, when the Scottish Parliament opened again, they were introduced and with their dairy farmers. So the Queen said it was very nice to talk to somebody who had a something different to speak about. Speaking about Ayrshire cattle.
Yeah.
Coos, because then your usual run of the mill, what do you do sort of thing stuff.
Somebody actually did a real job for a change.
Change, aye, well. And then it transpired that Linda and them had actually had breeding contacts with the Queen's herd. You can something about some of their progeny had either come for there or something to do with that.
Practically related to the royal
family. Through your dairy cattle. But I mean, well, so she doesn't speak the same
then, as... Then Zina, your sister, for Orkney. For her loan, for Nathan Doon, it stood out a mile, his accent. You couldn't have mistaken, like.
No. Mm-hmm. The Orkney lot. Mm-hmm. That's a singy-songy kind of...
Yes.
Speaking the same song, I never knew what she meant. She said she'd got Caddy Lambs, and I said, Caddy Lambs? What's Caddy Lambs? And they said that, this is how they speak, the Caddy Lambs. I'm saying, what's a Caddy Lamb? She said, motherless lambs, orphans, but they speak about being Caddy Lambs.
I've never heard that.
She had Caddy Lambs to eat her grass. They had like a field near a garden. And this was what she had, Caddy Lambs. That's a word you never...
No, it's probably got quite a different origin.
But it's not until you sit and think about different words that's being used, isn't it, that they have...
Exactly, I wonder why they originated, do you know what I mean? How? It means you get the West Coast, it's entirely different tongue again.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that originate,
Yeah, it depends a bit who's influenced it, because in Orkney they're very influenced by Scandinavians coming in a long time ago. And then further north they're influenced by Gaelic, and the West Coast especially. I don't know who influences Glasgow. I think it's mainly the Irish across.
Even down here, there's no the Gaelic. Never has been. Mm-hmm. You were doing Gaelic.
Yeah, Dave did it for a while, and I did a wee bit, but we didn't last very long, I'm afraid. It was interesting to get a wee taster
again,
of it.
There again, people spoke it. Maybe you would, can't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some languages you get the impression that people like you to speak it, but I don't particularly get that impression with Gaelic. You're either a Gaelic speaker or you're not. Mm-hmm. And if you learn it, you're still going to be an outsider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's kind of obvious that you're trying to get yourself understood.
Songs is better sung in Gaelic than that. In national Scottish twang, as you'd say. There seems to be more lulled about the mayor.
Yeah, it's more sort of romantic Yeah, that's true. It's maybe just because you don't understand how soppy it is.
So thank you very much. I think that's very good.
I think if you've gotten anything worthwhile, I don't know.
I think I have.